Our first guest here in the Marrick Hotel is the newly minted Fine Gael TD, Hildegard Nocton. Hildegard, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
And I suppose I should say congratulations because you're one of the relatively few new crop of Fine Gael TDs.
That's right, yeah, it's a great honour to be elected.
I'm sure it is a great honour. Was there a bit of a, oh yeah, you got a new TD and so many other people lost their jobs?
Well, it was a difficult election, that's for sure. But I worked hard and I hope to represent the people of Galway West and South Mayo to the best of my ability. So,
and you're from Oranmore?
From Oranmore originally. I grew up there, living in the city now. And
When you were growing up in Oranmore, were there many children called Hildegard?
No. No, it was an unusual name. I still didn't realise that until maybe I went out into the bigger world and realised I was probably the only one around. I think there's one or two others around Galway, actually. Another Hildegard.
And what were your parents thinking at the
time? I don't know. Maybe they had a bad day. My mother liked the name. There's a Saint Hildegard of Bingen, German saint. Just fancy the name and okay. No German connections or anything.
And what did Saint Hildegard of Bingen do?
She was a 12th century Benedictine nun. She had... She was a visionary, they say. She had lots of different remedies for ailments and quite a remarkable lady, I think, in some respects. I must do more research on her, but I don't have any in-depth knowledge other than that.
And when you were growing up, were you Hildegard? Were you Hildy? Was it Gardy?
Yeah, interesting.
Gardy?
Always Hildegard. I think one of my teachers, I think, insisted on that in school, and it stuck with me. My parents, they always called me Hildegard, yeah. So right. I don't really like any abbreviations on it.
Okay,
so.
What's your second name?
Nocton.
No, I know that. I mean, in between Hildegard and Nocton.
Maria.
All right.
That's normal, they gave you an
opt-out then, just in case.
Yeah, they did.
Because I thought that maybe the Hildegard came from, because Hildegard is a classically trained singer as well. I thought maybe it came from the operatic end of things,
right,
and you're all singing around, singing arias in your house.
Yeah, no, there's no musical people in my family, my immediate family anyway. Yeah, there is I think, a soprano, Hildegard. Yeah, I can't think of her surname now.
Now, where were you trained?
Here in Galway, Pat Lillis in Salt Hill. I suppose I started singing in the choir in Oranmore, and I joined the musical societies here, the Patrician Musical Society, the oldest society in Galway, as well as other musical societies in the city and county, and just got involved that way and loved the stage and performing. And Pat Lillis at the time was a musical director for the Patrician Musical Society, so I went to singing lessons with her. And it's great training, and it's good to have.
I believe your Eliza Doolittle is award-winning.
Oh, yeah, I played the part of Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady with the Patrician Musical Society. Yeah, so I won an award for that for AIMS, the Association of Irish Musical Societies, yeah.
Okay, and do you do much of it now?
I don't have as much time, but like a musical, there's a lot of work involved. There's weeks of rehearsals and I had great fun. I was probably quite addicted to it when I was younger. But what I do now is I sing, there's a group of us called Bel Canto. We're three sopranos and we have a musical director. Director, Mairead Burrell, and we do a lot of kind of concerts, charity work. So I like to, it's my hobby, it's how I relax. So it really doesn't involve a whole pile of work. You can just turn up at a concert to sing, and we're well rehearsed and we have our harmony lines and all of that. So
are there many singers, or do you know, in what remains of the Fine Gael parliamentary party?
I don't know. We haven't had much time now for singing or that. I don't know. We're pretty serious in the Fine Gael parliamentary party.
So no fun in Fine Gael at
no
all?
No fun party. Yeah, exactly.
But did you ever have an ambition that it might be something you might want to have pursued as a career?
I always enjoyed it. I don't know. I think it's a very big leap to go, I suppose, professional singing or acting or in theatre. It says you might have thought about it, but I thought, no, that I always wanted to kind of try out, I suppose, different careers. And I was teaching and I was, I suppose, doing a lot of musicals and singing and acting on the side. And I enjoyed it. I think I like it as a hobby, and it's my kind of, it's my golf, it's my recreation.
Mm.
So
were you always going to be a politician? I know there's family roots.
Nobody was ever elected in my family. I was always interested in politics. I thought about business. I studied economics and French in university, and I kind of thought I'd go down that road. And I did a lot of charity work and working in the community, and that's how I got interested in politics. I kind of felt, well, the local elections were coming up in 2009. I said I'd like to go for that and see if I could make a difference. And,
right. Oh, so it was only relatively recently.
Yes, yeah.
But did you think, I'll pursue a career in politics, so I'll become a teacher?
No, I always like... liked teaching and communicating. And politics is a huge part of it, is communicating with people and helping people. And that was one of the main reasons why I got involved in it. So I worked in a multinational company for a while here in Galway, American Power Conversion, APC. And then I went around the long way in my career. I did a lot of different things. I worked in the Chicago Board of Trade. I worked in France. I was in the University of Lille. I was 2 years in France altogether. So I have, I suppose, a lot of experience behind me as well, which I think helps in politics.
And you're fluent French.
Yes. I don't get to use it that often now, though.
Okay, so. Yeah, because is it something you can lose?
You can, if you don't keep practicing it. And yeah, you could, when I was over in France, my English started to deteriorate a bit. If you're not using a language, you do, you know, you've... So, but I love the French language. I always loved it. I had a passion for that, even when I was very small, and I got French classes as well when I was younger.
But you're very accomplished.
I'm not really.
Why are you throwing your life
in
a lot of politics
things.
At all.
I don't know. Crazy. I'm crazy.
Yeah. Hildegard of Bingen was a composer, apparently, according to a texter. Orbital sampled her on A Feather on the Breath of God for their tune Belfast. You're a big fan of Orbital, I'd say.
I must be.
Put your tie-dye t-shirt on at the weekend.
I'm learning something new here today.
Do you just like classical music?
Oh, I like all types of music.
Everyone says that, really.
I do, yeah. I like... Not all classical music. I like, you know, stuff on the operas, and I like chart music, a bit of everything, jazz, yeah.
Mm. What would you be like when you're in your office in the Oireachtas? Would you like...
What do I have
blaring down? Would you have some tunes
on? Yeah. No, I don't really play it in my office. I don't have kind of time there. But what I do is I go to concerts here, like in the Town Hall Theatre, or attend shows and that. And the radio sometimes put on a bit of, you know, music in the car in between current affairs shows, just to...
since you were elected. Frank Farrell moved from London to Ireland as an 18-year-old and not only fell in love with Ireland, he fell in love with what it's made from, turf. And he's used this love to write and star in his own stage show, now featuring as part of the Galway Theatre Festival. It's simply called Turf. Frank, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Sean.
When you were... That's brilliant accent, isn't it? Hello, Sean. You're having a laugh. So had you, when you moved to Ireland, had you been on the bog before?
Yeah, as a child, coming back on my summer holidays on the ritual, and just fascinated by it.
Yeah.
As a young boy, drawing turf, footing it.
Yeah.
And just loved the nature of it, just the naturalistic environment, the rawness, and from being from North London, Irish parents, from Longford, great turf. I just loved footing. I loved observing old boys, and I just... The space, it just freaked me, because as you know, in London, you'd be closed in small gardens. But I've always loved it. I understand how people wouldn't love it, because it is, there's a stillness to it, and you have to sit with yourself. And I eventually found that I love it. I love the bog.
There are people listening who won't know what foot and turf means. Explain what that means.
Well, when the turf is cut, I mean, in days gone by, it'd be a slain, and that would be hardship and pain. And my parents and grandparents would be great slainsmen, you know, on the male side. And that was hardship, but now it's machine cut, so industrial revolution. And I know it's an eco problem, and it is, peat and turf is a disaster. It is a poison of the earth. But when it's cut with a machine, it's left out 100 yards long, 8 sods, 6 sods, 4 sods. So you have thousands of sods, normally 15 bins. That'd be 120 yards long, 15 bins, thousands of sods on a bank, one bank. So when you had a farm, you were entitled to a plot.
Yeah.
So this bank was yours, your fuel for the winter, along with sticks. So basically you walk into this bank, you walk it to see where the sod is fragmented, and then it would take 1 hour for a man that was used to it, or a woman, to foot turf. You turn the two sods, so they get a breath and they get air, and then you build on top, which they call tiers. So you've got two, 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 two. Now, that formation can become 2x1, or it can become barrels. And I'm fascinated by barrels. So I put 7 sods on the bottom, on a flat, so I level the bank with my foot to make sure it's not undulating, seven sods, and it comes up to a 6-foot sculpture. And that's my trademark, and I do it all around the Midlands. I do it for people, I buy plots, and I have about 100 ton of turf in sheds at home. I live on a small farm beside Ballymattan in the very Midlands, and beside a museum called the Corlay Centre. Mm. It's Albert Reynolds financed this project, and he built a road, the construction built a road, a tarred road, through the bog in Keena, and it's called the Corlay Track Bog Centre. They found a prehistoric road. They took the road up, sleepers, and sent it to Cambridge and Oxford, and they air-tightened in a 30-foot case. You can see it if you go there, and there it is in the museum. Mm. And they'll narrate the stories of that area, tribal, chieftains, burial. So I work all around that, and it's a black sod. It's a vein that runs from Longford to Lanesborough to Roscommon and parts of Galway, though it's more of a puckier sod. So there's a black earth. So when the machine cuts, the JCB cuts into the bog to the face, then you have a black sod. That's what you're looking for. I leave my sods for I'm 5 years ahead of myself. So I have Barcelona turf and I have Longford Town turf. Yeah.
Somebody's texting in to say, never knew Jimmy White knew so much about turf.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've probably heard that before. Yeah. Do people actually do it by hand anymore?
Yeah.
They still do.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that skill kind of dying out a bit?
Yes.
It's the more backbreaking end of things.
That's why people employ the likes of me. Mm. So, I'm a professional peat block mover. That is my job title. So if, Sean, you wanted a bank footed in Bannersloe, Galway, I'd come to it and I'd tell you the price. I'd tell you how long it was going to take me, around the hours, and I'd know by the first 8 sods, 100 yards long, how long I'm going to be there. Then I'd tell you 3 weeks later how to refoot that turf. Now, if you wanted barrels, then you're talking more money. So I work on piecework. So all I have to have is patience and a monkey stance. I have to be grounded to the earth. Listen, if you have a bad back, or if you have weak arms, where you get tollocks in your arms, where they blow up, it's over. But I'm hardened to it. So I work winter and summer. I refoot turf. Because it was a bad summer last year, I'm back in the bog since March. I have a professional wetsuit. I have two. And it's really light, so I can move. I have a flask. I have food. And I have you on earphones. I have a Husqvarna earpiece, and Sean Moncrief is...
And is the reception good in the bog?
Brilliant. Because they're brilliant ones. They like my golf wetsuit. Yeah.
So, but you did, apart from doing all that, did you go back to study theatre to kind of...
I went back to Sligo, and I studied... I did a FITAC course in Moat. And I wanted to learn about performance, and I wanted to bring the idea of rearing turf into a performance space, so theatre. And so I went to Sligo and did my honours degree, and my thesis was on turf, and I devised a piece of theatre that was the people I had encountered on the bog into a physical piece. So I physically make up a barrel of turf, 7 sods on the bottom to 6 foot, and I tell a story, and it's 40 minutes. And it's physical, wordplay, stillness, patience, peace, beauty. Because I love the bog.
Hold on, why is everybody freaking out? For the love of God, why are you hanging out your mouth? What's wrong? Apparently, you are no longer human. You're an alien, a violation. You're not a man. You're not a woman. And not safe to be left around small children. You're a virus. You are dismissed because your blood erases too high of a risk. Ah, you're a freak. No father, son. We asked your mother, and she told us you are the only one. So learn your lesson. Better learn it quick. Because the crowd, they may become violent. Plus, it's illegal now in certain countries to even talk about your condition, like in Uganda. Never moving to Uganda. Thanks.
Stephen Sharp there. So Stephen has an EP out at the moment called Family Values. The one he had out before that, it was during the referendum campaign, was called Vote Yes or Vote No and Be an Arsehole. Tomás, Hannibal wants to know, any wine recommendations for human flesh?
Chianti.
Yes, of course.
It's gotta be.
Obviously.
With fava beans.
Now, we do, of course, we do have lots of wine questions for you, but given that we are doing three wines today, let's do our first wine. Which one is it?
Well, our first wine is from Spain, and it's from Galicia. It's actually from Bierzo, so it's up on the left-hand side.
Yeah, you didn't say Galicia. The way people do.
Galicia. I think if, you know, we have to respect the fact that Spanish people speak Spanish better than we do.
So I believe, yeah.
and in fact, I have been told that our pronunciations of these things is just terribly sexy for them, in the same way as the French people saying,
really?
You know, sincère, you know, people just go, excellent, as opposed to sans carré.
Someone else says, I'm cooking a few snipe for the family tomorrow. I actually shot a brace of them a while back. What would be a brilliant accompanying red? Shows you can get a good signal still in Downton Abbey.
Well, obviously, what you need to do is tell the servants to go down there and have a look for a fairy.
This is not your problem, really. Yeah.
And if they don't, then they can be, you know, dealt with later.
Yeah, thrashing.
That's it.
I think Frank the Turf Guy should have his own superhero movie, Turf Man, Revenge of the Sod. Laura says, I've never seen Star Wars, ever. Not one. My boyfriend genuinely hates this about me. And now with the new ones coming out, I feel like I should start from the beginning. Are there any shortcuts to catch up with the new ones? Or do I need to take a week off work?
No, skip the middle three, do the first three.
Oh, stop that one. That's like they actually shout at each other about what order you're supposed to watch them in.
I know, do the first three. I'm talking about in order of release and skip those silly ones and then lap up the wonderful release from Christmas of the new Star Wars, The Force Awakens.